Hi, my name is Don Anderson, and I'm the host of Missing Pieces, MPE Life. This is Season 4, Episode 12, A Change of Heart. I wanted to remind you guys, don't forget about Untangling Our Roots Summit. It's coming April 25th through 28th in Denver, Colorado. And don't be like I did last year, where I, afterwards, heard everybody talking about it, and I was felt left out, like I missed something. And I had. So I'm going this year. I'm only going to be there Thursday and Friday because I have another engagement back in LA on Saturday. But you can register. Go to untanglingourroots.org and I'll put a link in the show notes. And there's still tickets left, so check it out. And it's the only summit that unites the adoptee, MPE, and DCP communities. So there's a lot of panelists. I'm one of them. It's going to be great. We'll see you there. I'm recording this on St. Patrick's Day, so happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone. And speaking of St. Patrick's Day, I get a lot of downloads in Ireland. They're like my sixth most downloaded country. So I want to do a story on somebody in Ireland. So somebody in Ireland, get in touch with me. My email is donnpe@icloud.com. Get in touch with me there. So today it's a great episode, and you know what? I'm not even going to mention what it's about. I'm just going to drop you off in the middle of it. Here we go.
My name's Tracy. I live in Tennessee. I was born in Cincinnati, Ohio. My parents divorced when I was one. At 6 years old, we moved to Lexington, Kentucky. Then my mother and my stepfather bought a business even further south in Kentucky. And when I would go back to Cincinnati, they would tease me how I talked, but living in South Central Kentucky, they teased me. But then clearly, I evolved into just straight up country Appalachian accent.
When you moved to Kentucky, you had a stepdad already?
Yes. My parents divorced when I was 1 year old, and they both remarried when I was 2. And all these years later, I still have the same step parents. Everyone's still married. Everyone's still alive.
Cool. And they obviously got it right the second time, huh?
They're still married. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I hear doing what you're not saying.
Lots of grace and life. You know, there's a big, long 50-something years there to cover.
So Tracy moved with her mom and stepdad to Kentucky, but her dad stayed in the Cincinnati area. He remarried, and he and his wife had a couple kids. So Tracy grew up like spending summers and stuff with them.
From a child, I was always very interested and very involved with family. I had great grandparents. I had a great grandmother that lived to be 100. So I always loved hearing about who came before her. I got on ancestry.com probably 20 years ago just for the family tree portion. So I would ask my dad, my living grandparents, I would ask people for family details and fill in the tree. It's addictive. It's very interesting. So I love that. My dad would give me a lot of information about his side of the family. And so I built out this huge tree. And when the Ancestry DNA kits became available and they were advertised a lot, my husband and I said, oh, let's do them. So we did it, and you know how, oh, it's fun. You know, you're talking about your ethnicity and those things. So I was like, hey, Dad, listen, we're this and that. And so 1 year at Christmas, this has probably been 7, 8 years ago, I got him a DNA test. And he pulled me aside and he said, I'm not doing that. I said, okay. He said, there's just some things in my life I might not want to know. I said, Dad, it's fine. But he's very forthcoming. He said, when I was in the Air Force in the early 60s, I had an affair with the general secretary. She got pregnant and said he was my son. And I said, well, Dad, you don't have to take the test. If he's out there and he takes the test and he's your son, he's going to match with me.
So besides the general secretary's son, there was another mystery that needed to be solved. In Tracy's own family tree.
My dad's father left his wife, my grandmother, and their 10 kids back in the 40s. Just left, moved from Tennessee to Pennsylvania, changed his last name. Didn't even get divorced, but lived with another woman as if he was married to her and had a daughter. And my father had told me that when I was about 8 years old, and I was always fascinated by that. Half-sister of my father's. And I found her. I ordered my grandfather's death certificate to find out where he was buried. She had signed it. I searched obituaries online because her last name from birth was very common, as is mine. But hers was a little different. So I found an obituary that had her married name, and it was much less common. Searched Facebook. There were four of those. Found her. Emailed her son. Said, I think I'm related to your mother. Found my father's long-lost half-sister. And then that got me interested. Then I have a first cousin once removed that never knew her father. And she called me and she said, I would love to find my father. And I've heard you're good at this. I had found one person, but okay, it was successful.
So Tracy solved that case, and then another and another and another. She had a reputation as somebody that could help people find family. And so she kept doing it and she loved it.
Back probably 30 years ago, I was visiting my dad and my stepmother in Ohio. And I was looking through an old family photo album, and there were lots of pictures. You remember our little school pictures where you're sitting there and you cut them out and you give them away? There were lots of those in there of all of my cousins, myself, my stepmother's nieces and nephews. And then there were some, two or three of those, and a couple of snapshots of a girl that I didn't recognize. And she looked about my age because her hair and the clothes were similar to mine, you know, as a teenager. And I asked my stepmother, I said, who is this? And she just looked at me and said, that is your dad's daughter with Ann. And she said the lady's last name. And I was taken aback a little bit. Because I knew that lady. My mother used to go to that hair salon when we lived in Ohio. And I remember going there as a very small child as well. Then we moved to Kentucky. So this was 30 years ago, had no cell phone. So I had to wait. I drive all the way home and I call my mother and I said, Mom, this is what my stepmother just told me. That dad had a child with the beauty shop lady. And she said, well, yes, that's true, but I would have never told you had you not asked me, because that is your dad's business. That is not my business. So, you know, didn't even really have internet then. And I was very curious about it, but I also found out that the lady was married. This was before my dad met my mom. He was single, but this beauty shop lady was married. So, you know, you just think, well, maybe she is, maybe she isn't my sister. And then fast forward several years, you know, we're all up in internet, Google, all that. I stalk her on the internet a little bit, find this alleged sister, and, you know, looking, you know, thinking, well, there she is. Is she my sister or not? We may never know. And I would speak to my other sister that I grew up with and cousins, and, you know, they had heard the rumor too. So they'd say, are you going to contact her? And I said, absolutely not. What if she doesn't know? I'm not going to be the one to tell her. Her mother was still alive. I found her mother on Facebook and friended her mother, and her mother accepted it. And her mother and my dad's sister worked together back in the 60s and were friends. So my cousin had photographs of my dad's sister, the beauty shop lady, and my cousin at the beauty salon. It's just crazy. So I sent those pictures to the beauty shop lady. And she was very sweet. Just, you know, how you communicate on Facebook. It's kind of superficial. So that was probably 7 or 8 years ago.
So let me interrupt for a second. So the fact that your dad had beauty shops, ladies' daughters' photos, school pictures in his photo album, did that mean beauty shop lady was sending your dad photos and that she knew that he was the dad?
I'm glad you asked, because no, I asked my stepmother 30 years ago or whenever I discovered these photos, I said, how did you get these? My stepmother's mother still went to the salon, the same beauty shop, and got her hair done in the 80s. And the beauty shop lady would give my step-grandmother pictures of this daughter. She had 4 children, but she would only give my step-grandmother pictures of my alleged sister. Mm. Maybe she was hoping they would reach my dad, because why else would she give her pictures of one of her kids?
Right. And how did your stepmom feel about this daughter or alleged daughter?
Well, she didn't really say anything negative, but for some reason she had taken the pictures and put them in an album. I don't know why. I don't know. She didn't say anything ugly or mean about it at that time, 30 years ago. She just kind of stated it as though it was a fact.
Stepmom told you, when you got home, talked to mom about it. Did you talk to dad about it at that time?
No, never talked to dad about it at all.
So that's 2 affairs your dad had with married women.
Papa was a Rolling Stone. He was actually so good looking that it was just trouble. And when I say that, I'm not just saying it because he's my dad and I'm biased. It's just the truth. He had that James Dean Elvis. He was tall, tan, dark, just great personality, trouble.
Yeah, all the ingredients.
Yes. Okay, so fast forward. Now, keep in mind, I had taken the Ancestry DNA test probably 7 or 8 years ago. I can't remember how long they've been out, but, you know, it's been quite a few years since I've had it. Had several of those updates. You know how they update constantly your ethnicity. So back in January of 2021, my husband and I are on an airplane, and I'm on the airplane Wi-Fi, and I get a message for Ancestry that you have a match. You know, they send you those alerts. So I go look, and it said you have a close family first cousin match. And I looked and it said Tanya. Well, I have a first cousin once removed named Tanya. And I thought, oh, that's her. So I clicked on it, but it said Tanya, her maiden name and her married name, and her maiden name was the name, last name of the beauty shop lady. So there we go, confirmation. And I just looked at my husband. I wasn't surprised because I knew of the possibility, but finding it out, you know, my heart was racing, and I showed my husband and he said, wow, you know, so it is true. Are you going to contact her? And again, even though I have proof, DNA proof, that she's my sister, I said, no, what if she doesn't know? I am not going to be the one to turn her life upside down. So I keep looking at it. I look at it constantly, you know, probably every day or two, just to see if she sent a message. So 3 weeks later, I think it was February, it was on Wednesday in February 10th, something, I get a message from her and she says, hey, I'm new to this DNA thing, but it looks like we're related. Do you know how?
My name's Tanya, and I grew up about 30 miles outside of Cincinnati in a very small town. I grew up, my parents were very strict. My father was a minister. My mom was a hairdresser. But before I was born, my parents were just, I guess, wild. My first memory is of my dad being in a car accident when I was 2 years old, and it was a drunk driving accident, and he was the drunk driver. And I can remember the ambulance. Then my next very clear memory is when I was about 7 years old, and a local newscaster came to our house to interview our family because my dad had become a minister. And the headline was "The Meanest Man in Cincinnati Turns Preacher." Like I said, my mom was a hairdresser. And she, when I was very young, she had a large beauty shop in Cincinnati. And then after, I think I was probably around 7 or 8 years old, she moved it closer to where we live. So then she was just a very small shop after that. My parents were very strict. I was with me. I have an older brother, a younger brother, and a younger sister. And it seemed like they were more strict with me. My older brother was 9 years older than me. So he remembers a lot of the time when my parents were in that wild stage, and he got away with more. Then I was like the first child that they really raised, with him being a minister. So I had to be the perfect minister's daughter. I wasn't allowed to do a lot of things until I turned 16. Like I wasn't allowed to go to very many people's houses. I wasn't allowed to go to the movies. I wasn't allowed to go to restaurants that served alcohol. So I was very sheltered. So my siblings that I grew up with are all over 6 foot tall with blonde hair. And I'm 5 foot five with brown hair. And yes, I looked completely different than them, but I looked a lot like my mom. So I didn't think really anything of it. I didn't suspect anything. They were all athletic. I'm not. Then I got married when I was very young. I was 18 when I got married. I went to college and got my teaching degree. And then when he got out of the service, we moved back to outside of Cincinnati, back to our hometown where I've been teaching ever since.
Yeah. And so what were you going to say about your dad before I interrupted?
He passed away in 2001. I've always been interested in my genealogy and my heritage. My parents never really talked about where our family came from. And for years, I always wanted to know, you know, what was my heritage? Where did we come from? And I spent about 2 years just kind of looking at different DNA tests. Not really wanting to drop the money for it, but really wanting to do it, but didn't know which one was best. And I looked at all of them. And then in December of 2020, Ancestry DNA went on sale. And I'm like, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. So I took the test in December, late December, and I got my results back at the end of January. And when I got him back, I just, you know, first thing I did was look at my heritage, and I was mostly Eastern European, Germanic European, with some other things sprinkled in.
Was that what you expected?
Yeah, I didn't really know what to expect. So I really didn't have anything to base it on. So then I started looking at my DNA matches and family trees, and I saw a lot of DNA matches from my mom's side. And I said to my husband, I can't believe that nobody from my dad's side has ever done a DNA test. And then I noticed that my closest DNA match was this woman named Tracy. And it's at the top, it said close relative dash first cousin. And I thought, if she's my first cousin, I should know her or at least know who her parents are. And so I spent about 2 weeks just going through both of our family trees, looking at her matches, looking at my matches, just trying to find a connection. And I could not find a connection at all. So I noticed on her Ancestry DNA page that she mentioned she likes to help people with their ancestry and family trees. And So I decided I would message her and I said, hey, it looks like we are first cousins, but I can't see how. Maybe since you're more familiar with this, you might be able to tell. And that was a Wednesday night. That was February 10th, 2021. And I just put my computer away, didn't think anything more of it.
This is Tracy.
I immediately just burst out into tears. It just broke my heart because, well, I just cried and I told my husband, I said, she doesn't know. And you yourself, Dawn, being an NPE, you know how it feels to find out you're an NPE. So that's what I was dreading for her, is that her life being turned upside down. And my husband said, well, what are you going to do? Everyone has a right to know where they come from. And I said, of course, that's what I believe. That's why I've helped people and been so interested in genealogy my whole life. But I don't want to be the one to tell her. I've always said I don't want to be the one, and it's coming back that looks like I'm going to be the one. So I calmed down. I sat down, made myself a drink, prayed, talked to Brad for an hour and a half. And then I responded and I said, yes, this DNA is something, isn't it? I do know how we're related. Can you just ask your mom?
And about 1 o'clock, I thought, I'll check to see if I got a response on my message to Tracy. And she had responded and she said, yes, I know how we're related. I want you to talk to your mother first. So I messaged her back and I said, thank you so much. It's good to meet you. I don't talk to my mom a whole lot. I'm not sure if she would tell me anything. And she responded, you're welcome. And it's very good to meet you. I'm sorry about your mother. I understand. Tanya, do you have any ideas or feelings about how you and I are related? I know, and I'm very open to discuss if you want. You're more than welcome to call or text. And I just responded, no, I really have no idea. If it's okay, I can give you a call. Well, but right before I called her, it was funny, my husband and I were talking about what this could mean. Like, maybe I've got, maybe my grandfather had an affair. He's got another family out there, or, just kind of coming up with all these different scenarios. And then right before I called Tracy, I kind of laughingly said, maybe I'm not my dad's daughter. Maybe dad's not my dad. And we just kind of laughed about it. Like, that would be, there's no way that would be possible. That was my thought.
Brad said, you have to tell her. And I said, I know I do. I will. I gave her my phone number. I'm at work. She called me. I go back into the stock room. And I was so nervous, Dawn. I was an absolute wreck. Here I was faced with pulling the rug out from under someone's whole life, someone's whole identity. And I'd never done that before. There's no rule book on that, I guess. But here we were. And so I'm babbling nervously.
Tracy's a talker. And she talked for about 5 minutes, just talking about how she knew my mother and how her mom knew my mother. And evidently, there were a lot of people who went to my mother's beauty shop. And then she says, well, do you have any questions? And I said, well, yes. Are we related? And can you tell me how? And she said, we are half sisters. We share a father. And I started to say, so my dad had an affair, but before I could get it out, she said my dad's name, and she said, is not your father. And I had to repeat what she said just because it didn't make sense.
And she was very calm, and she said, okay, I believe you, but how do we know? She was so nice and so gracious. And I said, well, do you see all those common matches with my maiden name? She said, yes, I wonder who they were. And I said, well, Neither you nor I could be related to them if my biological father wasn't our father. Okay. So then I think she's in shock, and we talk for several more minutes. And I said, well, I'm going to go back out here to work, but would you like me to send you pictures? She said, yes, send me anything.
I did believe her, but I think I was in shock. I took my little whiteboard I had been using to teach that day online, and I wrote on it, Dad is not my dad, and went in and showed my husband. And he just had this stunned look with this just kind of surprised look, like, you know, his eyes big, his mouth open. That moment, I think I just kind of went into shock, and I don't know. She talked a lot about family, siblings. She had known a lot about me because she'd kind of researched me through Facebook and other things. She told me that I'm an eighth grade math teacher. She told me that my new brother was also a math teacher. He's a fifth grade math teacher. After I talked to Tracy later that afternoon, I called my younger brother and I told him that I just found out that Dad was not my dad. He was just as shocked as I was. So he ended up calling my sister, and my mom lived with my sister. Found out on Thursday. He called my sister on Friday. Friday night, my sister went to my mom and said, who is Tanya's dad? And my mom's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And my sister said, who is, and gave my biological father's name. And she said, I don't know what you mean. I don't know what you're talking about. And my sister said, forget it, Mom. She knows. She did a DNA test. And so my mom just took this long sigh and said, yes, it's true. And she said that her and my dad that I grew up with were having trouble, and they were both running around. She also said that my dad didn't know anything about it. My dad I grew up with didn't know anything about it, because if he had, my younger sister and younger brother wouldn't exist. There would be no family. And my mom wanted to try to call me that night, and my sister told her no. And I'm so thankful, because I was still processing. I didn't even know what to think. My sister told her no, not to call me yet. Give me time to process it. Let me reach out to her. That was Friday. On Saturday, my mom and sister talked more about it. She wanted to call me, and my sister's like, not yet. Give her time. And I'm still glad that she didn't. She didn't let her call me, because I don't know how I would have reacted. I don't know what I would have said. I was still processing. And then the next morning, it was a Sunday morning, and I was sitting in church, and my brother tried to call me. And I texted him. I said, I'm in church right now. I'll call you when I leave church. And he says, no, you need to call me right now. He said, go out, leave the service, go out in the sanctuary, something, but you have to call me. So I called him, and his first words were, Mom died. And I'm like, what? And he said, Mom died. She didn't wake up.
The next morning, I sent her a picture of my dog, and I said, Happy Valentine's Day. I just felt bad for her. You know, I just wanted to reach out that morning. It was Sunday, Valentine's Day. And I sent her a little picture of my dog, and I said, Happy Valentine's Day. And she immediately texted me back and said, thanks, but I have terrible news. My mom died last night. She just didn't wake up. See, just retelling it after 3 years, I'm still speechless. I didn't say a word. I just turned the phone to my husband, and his jaw hit the floor. And so I said, oh my God, I am so sorry. Call me if you need to or want to.
So I'm still processing the first story. And then, so my mom dies and I really wasn't sure what to think about that. Well, my first thought was that she had done something. She had done something to hurt herself because the story came out. But then later the EMTs told us that there was no signs of struggle, no distress, that she just died in her sleep. And then we later, the autopsy showed that she just stopped breathing. She had COPD, so that was the cause.
And so you never got a chance to talk to her. And you're grateful for that.
I am. Now, you know, maybe later I'll wish I had, but I'm just grateful because I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to hear what she had to say. She had 20 years after my dad passed away to tell me, and that's one thing I'm angry about. So I wasn't ready to listen to her, and I wasn't ready to talk to her. This was in February. In March, my husband and I went on a trip to Tybee Island, and we arranged on the way back to stop and meet Tracy and her husband in Tennessee. So that's the first time we met.
She was ready to meet. She wanted to meet. They came to my house, and we hugged, and she has very good hugs. She's a very, you know, it's firm, but not crushing or anything. Just, it's like she hugs like she means it. And that was very sweet. And the first thing she said was, one of the first things she said was, "Where do I get these wide thumbs?" Well, that was a, oh my God moment, because I don't have them, but my dad, his brothers, that was always a thing on my dad's side of the family. When a child was born, everyone would say, "Do they have the thumbs? Do they have our thumbs?" So that was just another, here we go, you know, yep, she's ours. And, you know, we were comparing feet and hands and, you know, that kind of thing. Then we went out to dinner. It was a very nice visit. And then we just stayed in touch.
She was so, they've all embraced me. That whole family has embraced me and my whole family. They've just been great. It's really been a blessing, the whole situation. Well, from the very beginning, Tracy said that we could go as far into this relationship as I wanted. It was up to me. She said we didn't have to have a relationship if I didn't want to. She was leaving it all up to me, and we were going to do it at my pace, which was very helpful. There was no pressure on me at all.
Right. Yeah, that is really cool. So one thing to keep in mind, do you remember that Tracy's parents got divorced when she was really young? The dad stayed in Cincinnati and had two kids, a son and a daughter. Well, those two kids also embraced Tanya wholeheartedly.
Tracy and my other sister came up to Cincinnati for my birthday, and they spent the weekend with me for my birthday, which just blew me away.
So when I interviewed Tracy after we were done, she told me something about her stepmom and her stepmom's reluctance to accept Tanya. So I asked Tanya about it.
I would love to tell that story, because I think it's a big part of the story, but I don't feel like it's my place and I don't want to.
Mm. Yeah. No, it's totally understandable. So I asked her about the first time she met her bio father.
I think he was afraid to meet me at first or talk to me at first. It took several months. And at the beginning, I wasn't ready. I didn't think I would ever want to talk to him or have a relationship at the very beginning. I just thought, I've already got a dad. I don't need to do this. But then as time went on, I'm like, I do want to know where I came from. I do want to know who he is. So in July, I emailed him and told him that ever since I had found out, my life was just off balance. I couldn't get my standing. I just, you know, things just didn't feel right inside of me. And I told him that there was a whole part of me that I knew nothing about and I wanted to know about. And the only thing I'd ever heard was things I'd heard from Tracy. So I said I really wanted to, you know, have a conversation with him, sit down, meet him. And he did respond. And I'm looking at my emails right here. He did respond and he said it was really good to make contact after all these years. He said he was never sure how things really were because my mom was married at the time. And he said he was eager to meet me and have a face-to-face talk. And then he went on to say that, trying to think how to word this. He went on to say that it might be difficult at that time to do it because his wife wasn't on board with it. So that was in July. And then we were supposed to meet him in October. We hadn't met him yet. My husband and I decided we were going to go down to Tennessee and visit my new brother and his family. And they live in the same town. And we were supposed to meet him then. And on our way down there at the last minute, my biological dad called and made up an excuse that they wouldn't be able to see us that weekend.
Did that hurt?
It did. I was disappointed. It did bother me. I felt like, well, he doesn't want this relationship. And in fact, I'm reading in my journal and I remember I wrote, I'm done. You know, the ball's in his court. I'm not going to push this. This has brought up sad feelings. I can't really pinpoint the reason. I feel down, depressed, and incomplete. I'm not sure where to go from here. That was like, 3 weeks later, we went down for Thanksgiving. His wife had I'm just trying not to say too much that I can't.
Yeah,
you know.
It's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
You know me, I couldn't just leave this alone. So I felt like after I interviewed both Tracy and Tanya that what they were trying not to say was the most important part of the story. And so I called them back and pushed it a little bit and said, hey, I'd really like to include that. And what I wanted to include was that the stepmom didn't want anything to do with Tanya. She didn't want her husband to have anything to do with Tanya. And so everybody in the family embraced her and wanted her as part of the family, except for this woman. And it was challenging for everyone. And the reason I want to tell the story, not to drag her name through the mud, is because what happened next? You know, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. And here is the rest of the story. This is Tony, Tracy and Tanya's half-brother, the one that grew up in Cincinnati with the father and the stepmom, but which is his mother.
Yeah, my name's Tony. I was originally born in Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm an elementary school teacher, and I'm 49 years old. I have 3 children of my own. I've been married once, happily, and currently to my wife, Devin.
First of all, did you know... You know how your mom told Tracy years ago, Tracy was looking through the photo album. Do you know that story?
Yes.
So did anybody ever tell you about Tanya?
No. I feel like my mom had a great relationship with Tracy. And yet with myself and my younger sister, Tara, my mom was much more, in her eyes, protective of us. And I feel like she thought in her mind that she was protecting us from this information.
So Tony intuitively knew that his mom was not going to take the news of Tanya well.
Knowing that this was going to be a very difficult subject to approach with my mom, I went over to my parents' house and had sat down in the living room with my dad and my mom and asked them about what they knew about Tanya. At that time, Dad responded with, "Yeah, Tracy's told us." And my mom immediately went to a place of, "It's not, she's not your sister. She doesn't belong to your dad. That's not true." In a very loving way, just asked her to explain her reasoning behind that, because DNA has been proven. She just stayed in a place of denial. There wasn't any real, no logic. And it was it seemed like someone who was just very, very unhappy with this information. And their only, I guess, defense was to just deny it, which did hurt my heart, because my mom was the one who helped me see that, I believe that my God creator loves me and tells me that I'm supposed to love the world. And she was taking the stance that was the exact opposite of that. We didn't know Tanya at the time. I didn't know a thing about her. And you would think that in this conversation that my mom knew her and that she was some person that we did not want to associate with, but she didn't. She had no basis. She just didn't want her into coming into our family. I would call and say, "Hey, I've kind of talked to my wife and we're going to go to Cincinnati and we've already got plans to have, dinner with Tanya and her family so we could meet them initially." And for us, it was like, it's exciting. I was nervous. I was still dealing with how to handle this on my own.
But his mom was not changing her tune. And it was difficult for him.
At the time, this was a lot of how she would communicate. She would not respond to the things that, like, to reason or to logic. She would get upset, be very loud, and give some other, it would, from another direction, she would bring some other point in that she thought would make her point, but it, like I said, it wasn't logical, and it didn't work. So she would say something like, "We don't know who this family is or why she even believes that your dad is her dad." And I would say, "We just talked about that. It was the DNA," and she didn't think that until having conversations with Tracy. And I would try to say very calm and reserved and just try to break down that wall that with just truth.
Did you ever say 20 years ago you told Tracy it was her sister?
Yes, I did bring that up.
And what did
and
she say?
She said no, that her mother was lying from the beginning, that your dad is not her father. Mm. And if I was making too much sense that you can't really refute, then she would respond by bringing something else up that didn't apply.
Right. I mean, I know that argument and I know those people, right. And it's almost an impossible situation because
yes,
the denials,
it felt impossible.
And then they get angry, raise their voice, like anytime you get close to the truth.
Yeah.
So against his mother's wishes, he and his family did meet Tanya and her family. And it went great.
We had already had time with Tanya and her husband, Randy, and their kids, and built a relationship. I hope I don't get off track here, but many of us that might listen to this or, experience family ourselves, we have a family. And it's like, okay, I found out that this woman is my sister, so she's a part of my family. But it didn't take long at all to realize that she belonged. To us. Because you may be a part of a family, and she was a part of a family, but it was evident that she belongs to us. I would have to say that it, in all my confusion and uncertainty, when I found out that it was cleared up pretty quickly, that that she belonged to me as my sister. She wasn't just a part of my family, but that she is family. I don't know if I'm communicating that well, but.
No, you're communicating it perfectly well. And now I'm going to get emotional. But, you know, as someone who's been on the other side of that, like, I mean, it's just an amazing feeling to get that acceptance. And I felt the same thing. Like, when I met my four new sisters, like, I felt like I'd been raised in the wrong family. Like, I fit in with them so naturally and perfectly, and we just hit it off immediately. I mean, it was just immediately family.
Exactly. And that's, it's hard to put into words. That's why I'm maybe having some trouble. And the word belong is my attempt to.
I love that you use that word, actually.
And so knowing that and going back to my parents, and especially my mom, with that in my heart, I couldn't make my mom feel that, because she was so defensive about anything and everything that had to do with Tanya. And quite honestly, my sisters and I, she was frustrated with us. So the turning point was in the last conversation. We were going to have Thanksgiving. It was coming up, and it was going to be at my house. And my sisters, all of my sisters were coming, Tara, Tracy, Tanya, and their families. And I could think of no other thing than to have all of us together, including my parents, that I couldn't think of anything that I would want more. And yet the divisiveness and my mom's approach to everything that had to do with the situation. And in my time in prayer and seeking the Lord, that, you know, direction on how to do this well. In that conversation, she remained divisive. And so by the end of the conversation, I was determined, and I was very kind and still, you know, reserved and speaking in love. I said, everyone is going to be at my house for Thanksgiving. But if this is your approach and your decision on how to treat Tanya, then you won't be invited to be at the house with us, as hard as that was to say. And I just assumed I would leave, like I had every other meeting, with her upset with me. And very angry and yelling. And I mean, immediately, right before I said those words, that if this is how you're going to treat Tanya, she had yelled at me, like top of, like as loud as she's ever yelled at me, angry in her anger in her voice. And so I just assumed that that response would happen again, since I just said the hardest thing I had said in any of those conversations. It got real quiet, and she said, "You're right." Like real soft, to the point where I wasn't quite sure I heard her correctly. So I said, "What?" She said, "You're right." And it was like she was a different person, like immediately, just a different person. Her voice was soft and like loving. She said, everything you've said is right, and I'm wrong. And I ask that you forgive me.
Wow.
Yeah. And said, of course. And, you know, there were a lot of tears and we embraced. She even hit specifics of that she was sorry for some things that she had said. And I was still a little nervous that, is this just because she felt she would have not been included now, and so now she needs to do something to, you know, keep, I guess, the status quo of our relationship. But there was quite a significant change, Don, in everything. Like, the narcissism wasn't there, and it continued, and it's continued to this day. And this was years ago.
And Tracy and Tanya both have said separately that that Thanksgiving was amazing.
It was something, for sure. It was a blessing, and it was just so good. It was very good.
Well, Tony, thank you so much for sharing this story. And, as you know, do you know the term NPE? Do you know what we call ourselves?
I do now.
As an NPE, I just want to thank you for going to bat for your sister.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I respect and admire your mom so much.
Yeah, me too.
Like, to have done that, I'm telling you, God.
No, you're good.
Sorry. Like, I'm deep in this world, and I'm telling you that that rarely happens. That someone has a change of heart like that. I know of one other instance where, you know, that's happened. So it's incredible. And thank her for me. Give her a hug for me.
I will.
So we met them during Thanksgiving weekend at my biological brother's house, and everybody was great. We had a great time. Everybody was welcoming.
Tracy said it was amazing.
It was. It was great. I was waiting for the other shoe to drop, that it was just an act. But that's been 2.5 years ago, and she's still just wonderful to everybody.
Your relationship with your biological father improved?
It's amazing now. His wife calls me on Mother's Day, called me on my birthday, has just really embraced me along with everyone else. So it's gotten much better.
This is Tracy.
We're all close now. Our dad's kids and our dad and our stepmom and my sister's kids, all of our nieces and nephews, everybody's very close. We just can't believe our good fortune that we got this beautiful human and her husband and her children. And now we have a great niece, my dad's first great grandchild from Tanya's daughter. We just feel very blessed.
But I do think that the whole thing has been orchestrated by God. The timing of everything was just meant to be. These situations tend to go really south or the other way completely. Like, they really go to two different extremes. And I think I'm very grateful that my situation has turned out the way it has.
So this point would be the point where I would normally play outro music, but I'm not right now because I don't want people to tune out, because I want you to hear what I'm about to say. You know, I believe in redemption, and I believe that it's a great thing. But, you know, when Bob Marley sang about redemption, you know, his song, Redemption Song, it's an angry song. It's saying he wished there was nothing to have redemption about. That's what he's really saying. And I just feel like I didn't want to walk away from this story with the stepmom being the hero. I think what she did was wonderful. I think it's rare, and I think it's absolutely beautiful. But I don't think she's the hero of the story. You know, I think Tracy, who brought me the story, is the hero of the story. I think Tracy, who's helped 10 people 12 people for no money help find their relatives, find out who they are, find out who their parents are. And her and Tony both accepted Tanya with open arms. Like, I just don't feel like the person that ends up accepting somebody with open arms should get more credit than two people that started out that way, if that makes sense. Not taking anything away from stepmom, but I just want to mention that Tony and Tracy are amazing. There's that outro music. That's telling me to get off my soapbox. I'd like to thank everybody that participated in this story today. The three T's, Tanya, Tony, and Tracy. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And I'd like to thank Billy Sullivan for providing all the music on today's episode. If you'd like to get in touch with Billy, go to SullyStoneMusic.com. I think it's just SullyStone.com. But if you Google Sully Stone Music, you'll find it. If you want to get in touch with me, you can email me at DonMPE@iCloud.com, or you can check it out my Instagram page at NPE_live_podcast on Instagram. Check it out there. Don't forget to rate and review. I love hearing from you guys. Keep in touch. And I can't wait to see you on the next episode of Missing Pieces. I'm Don Anderson, and I'm your host.